listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's the appetizer to serving you up a main course on Thanksgiving week. Yes, week 11 of the National Football League is here. The entire AFC East. You can just have the week off. Go ahead. That buys everywhere with the Patriots, Bills, Jets, and Dolphins. Also, Browns and 49ers getting the weekend off as we prepare for a turkey day on Thursday. But 12 games to get to before that as we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Well, the college football playoff picture seems to be maybe getting a bit more clear. You got Notre Dame ending up winning that big game against Syracuse, and now only a showdown with USC stands in the way of them getting in the playoffs. We want you to get into the playoffs of your fantasy league. And the guy who has been providing you the information that you need to make that run to glory is back again, taking no hours off despite the holiday week. He is going to provide you winners and the stuff or the stuffing you need to get it done, whether it be in your season-long or daily fantasy league. He is the one. He is the only. He is Mike Harmon.
Dan Beyer, pleased to be with you once again as we get ready for the stretch run, the fantasy playoffs. Just a few weeks off in the horizon, big bye week, one of the last that we'll have to suffer through. You made a couple of stuffing references. I have a nice stuffing recipe. Wednesday night, you'll be in with me, Jason Smith. So Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We'll give out grandma's stuffing recipe.
Oh, okay, great.
That goes well with your tryptophan-induced coma. Or may help that go along, particularly if you don't want to watch the Lions and the Bears.
Hey, I'm all for it.
Yeah, we love football, whatever it goes. I mean, the big thing is my goal through this 2 hours and then the Twitter fest that follows at Swollen Dome is at no point are you bent over wondering what's going on with your life like Urban Meyer was so many times yesterday.
Or I was, for that matter. I mean, it was, wow, what a Saturday when what was thought to be a kind of a mundane Saturday. Maybe it turned out to be that way, except West Virginia's upset to Oklahoma State. But that roller coaster that was in College Park yesterday was quite a big one. And now the Buckeyes, on their Thanksgiving week, have to get ready for Michigan. I will say this about the Bears-Lions, though. On Thanksgiving Day, and I don't want to look ahead to Week 12. We got a whole Week 11 to get to, but it is Thanksgiving week. I don't know about you guys, but when the Lions moved from the Silver Dome to the Ford Field, turkey tasted a little different. Just did it. Had that look. You were so used to the dark look of the Silver Dome when you were having that lunch on Thanksgiving Day. And then all of a sudden you get to the bright Ford Field. It's like, hey, this is different. Even the same thing with the Dallas Cowboys and the great games at Texas Stadium and then moving on to now Jerry World and AT&T Stadium. Yeah, the turkey just tastes a little different when you're watching those games just because of the sights that you're normally seeing on your screen upgraded to these beautiful stadiums. That's how Thanksgiving has changed for me.
Well, the bright lights of the stadium, right? I mean, as you're talking about, whether it's what you're using on your filters for Instagram, whatever, you feel less shame when you go back for a second or third serving when the lights are brighter. Because if it's dark, now you're just, you know, hermitage is what I'm thinking about there.
I always, and we've talked about old stadiums before, and again, if you're just joining us, thank you. If you're always with us and you hear this line, I know I've used it before, but the Silver Dome always looked like half the lights were burnt out. It just had that dark feel. The Metrodome was always like they were using some sort of brown, yellowish hue. That was the kind of feel you got with watching the games that the Vikings played at the Metrodome. But the Silverdome on Thanksgiving, it's like half of the bank of lights in that dome were out. And so then you get the Ford Field, and it's bright as can be. It was always a different story. Well, the Lions have their own issues, practicing outdoors for an indoors game against the Panthers. One of the many storylines we will dive into today here on Fox Football Fantasy, but I got to give out the important info first. Mike's on Twitter, at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. If you've got a fantasy dilemma, if you've got a question, trade deadlines coming up in your leagues, feel free to tweet us. We'll answer your question if you follow us. That's the only caveat, if you will. We just ask for your follow, and we thank you for listening to the show. But again, Mike's at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. If you ever missed the show, let's say you get up late and you missed Mike's hot plays of the week, don't worry. Just go online. You can find it. iTunes, subscribe to Fox Sports Radio Weekends, and you can download the show, and you can do it every single week. Let's get to it. Week 11 in the National Football League. Guys you got to get in your lineup. Guys that you want to play. Guys that you just got to go with. They are your
hot plays
for Week 11.
Let's get it on. Let's go with an unfamiliar name on the hot plays list. Dak Prescott.
What?
Yeah, that's right. A matchup against those Atlanta Falcons. Giving up 20 fantasy points per game over the last four. You look at Dak Prescott accounting for multiple touchdowns in four straight games, rushing touchdowns in three of four. They count just the same. In fact, in a lot of leagues, they give you an extra deuce along the way. Plus, the thing that's encouraging, 243 or more passing yards in three straight games.
How about that? The Amari Cooper effect, right?
Psychologically, they're just feeling like they have to force the ball downfield. Whatever it is, it works for you as a fantasy owner. You look at the Falcons also, fourth most fantasy points allowed per game to opposing quarterbacks on the year, three touchdowns per interception. How about Eli Manning? Yeah, let's get him in as well. Last week, three touchdown game against San Francisco, his first multi-touchdown game since October 7th. Feed Odell wow. Beckham Jr., and that was actually the lowest yardage total of the year.
Oh.
Is 188. Otherwise, he's actually having a breakout between the 20s.
Yeah, and usually because they're losing.
Well, that's
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's an opportunity because Tampa Bay, they stink. So they'll be able to make some plays. Sterling Shepard scored last week and had a smallish three-target line, but he'd gone four games before that. Without a touchdown, but six games in a row, he'd had seven or more targets. So we get him on and over as well. Deion Lewis against Indianapolis, third most targets to running backs this year. Colts defense, that's where you can hurt them. 19 or more touches, three straight games, even though it wasn't overwhelming a week ago. We get him back in our lineups. How about Lamar Jackson? Yeah, that's right. We're going to roll the dice on the kid. As a number two QB, I want him in. And for your daily fantasy purposes, why? Because the Bengals stink. The Bengals have given up. Bengals over the last 4 weeks, 30.7 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. And for the year, third worst. 21 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Lamar Jackson, it's your coming out party today.
I'll have some Andy Dalton numbers later on in the show that are just as bad as what you've got there with the Bengals defense, maybe happening as well on offense.
Yeah, we may bang those out here in a moment. Alshon Jeffrey going up against New Orleans. Back-to-back scoreless games, but four or more receptions in four straight games. 83 receiving yards over the last two total, but against the New Orleans Saints, they'll move them around in the alignment a bit. This one could open up in terms of your over-unders. Look for Philadelphia and for Alshon Jeffrey to be a big contributor here. D.D. Westbrook, how about that? 10 targets, narrowly missed a touchdown last week. Working out of the slot, that's where the Steelers have been gashed over the course of this season. So looking for him as a back-end two, high-end number three option. Again, the Jacksonville offense has been nothing to write home about, but we all know Ben Roethlisberger against this team on the road has had his struggles. Don't anticipate necessarily that the script to stay the same with James Conner out of the backfield, but Blake Bortles is going to have to push the ball downfield. And the return of Leonard Fournette, obviously they're feeling good about him. 29 touches a week ago, no concerns of injury. Maybe that balance they need to get that offense flowing.
We talked last week about how it was a big game for Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Them coming off of a bye, it almost felt like a must win. They didn't win that game. They fumbled late in what could have been an opportunity for them to tie it on a field goal. We'll see how they bounce back. But their nine lives, eight of them have been about used in Jacksonville with the Steelers coming to town today.
We'll sing some more of Aerosmith's Nine Lives album throughout the show. Larry Fitzgerald against the Oakland Raiders. 14 catches on 22 targets the last two games. He scored two of the last 3 weeks. I know the yardage total, disappointing. He's only gone over 50 receiving yards twice this year, but it's the Raiders. And what's curious this week, we've talked a lot about the moving of Monday Night Football, and we'll get into that game as the show goes on. I'm sure a lot of questions about the principles involved in that one. But Oakland skipped a couple of practices. Instead of going to Arizona and getting out of what's going on in mm-hmm. Northern California, as affected in a lot of the area as much as Los Angeles, they didn't practice. So since you've already more or less punted on the season, now you're not even trying to find a way to get your guys on a field, and you're doing virtual reality or however you're approaching this game, possible spot for Josh Rosen and company to make some noise.
I had heard that the NFL wanted to move this game to Mexico so nobody had to watch it. No, I'm just kidding. Come on.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Come on.
Look at that one.
It's early. Sorry,
nicely
Ryan. Sorry.
Done. He's going to mute you. 11th most fantasy points per game allowed to wide receivers, the Oakland Raiders. So another opportunity for you there. And then lastly, a bit of a contrarian for me. You mentioned Matt Patricia and his diatribe about snow to reporters. And I'll tell you what, he's seemingly starting to lose it a little bit as a head coach here. I think he's hit some rough times. With no Marvin Jones, but multiple touchdowns all but 2 weeks this year for Matthew Stafford, Carolina's secondary, wildly inconsistent. Opportunity here. Yes, the yardage has fluctuated quite a bit for Stafford as well, but Theo Riddick out of the backfield gives him that safety valve. I think they make some noise.
Those are the hot plays for Week 11. There's the other side of the coin as well. Those that you don't want to touch, you don't want to see, you don't want to look at, you don't want anything to do with. They are your
cold sores
for Week 11 in the NFL.
How about I go big game hunting here, Dan?
Let's do it.
Let's make him second wide receiver this week, Adam Thielen.
Wow.
For as dominant as, and it's not a hometown Bears call. It's just the fact that Vic Fangio's defense has been very good against Thielen in his career. 61 receiving yards or less in four games against Fangio coach D's. So for me, we're getting into the top end of the WR2s. The streak of dominance ends. And as we talk about that game, it'll be interesting to watch because both teams as close to full strength on their defenses as we've seen. Right, big expectations for the Vikings certainly coming in. You saw them throw Matthew Stafford around like a rag doll, and now they're healthy all throughout that defense. And Griffin coming back and becoming a force on the D-line again really opens things up. It's going to make it difficult for Mitchell Trubisky.
Also, this was a game that was flexed into the Sunday night game. This wasn't normally scheduled one. They move it in to the primetime spot. We'll see if the Bears live up to that status.
I'm pretty jacked up about this one, and certainly talking as we have all week, the Bears, they really haven't beaten any quality competition. You can only beat who's on the schedule, and they've had a couple of narrow misses against quality teams. But for Mitchell Trubisky here, he goes to the front of the QB2 line. For daily plays, because of the plays with his legs, he certainly warrants a look-see in terms of his valuation. But for your weekly fantasy, this might be one where you're finding your other option. Calvin Ridley against Dallas, fewer than 65 receiving yards, 7 of his 9 games, always possible for an explosion. But Dallas, third best against opposing wideouts, I'm out. Devin Funchess against Detroit, scoreless in 3 straight, under 45 yards in each of those games. Oh, and Darius Slay will be back to slide around with him as well. Andy Dalton, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. Alternating games with either one or multiple touchdowns, fewer than 250 passing yards in 4 of his last 5. He can beat it. He can take his running back Joe Mixon with him. Baltimore second best against opposing runners, and even though Mixon finally got through the end of practice week and got cleared, still a difficult proposition. Baltimore giving up 3.6 yards per carry and not much in terms of the passing game to opposing running backs. So we'll shut him down as well. And we always celebrate Marlon Mack. Can't do it here. I got to move him into a mid-second running back slot. Still enough touches that he'll be playable. But Tennessee giving up fewer than 11 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs over the last 4 weeks.
When you have two unstoppable forces or whatever the saying is, the Colts offensive line, Titans defensive line going head-to-head, Titans have been great so far. Let's get to your mystery man clue, our first mystery man clue of the week. This is a player that you're going to want to... Fox Football Fantasy getting his set for a week 11 in the National Football League. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. You could reach us on Twitter again. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. Get Mike over at Swollen Dome, just like Tim G did, who's in a half PPR league. He's got Leonard Fournette, Philip Lindsay, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, and Alshon Jeffrey. He needs to sit one of them in a half-point PPR. So of those 5, who would you sit?
Well, taking the running backs, they're coming with me right off the board. I love Amari Cooper. And I can't sit down Mike Evans. As much as I can't trust Ryan Fitzpatrick at this point either, It looks like an okay matchup on paper going up against the Giants. And as much as I like Jeffrey as a hot play, he's actually third on that receiver list for me this week.
The Philadelphia Eagles go into today's game against the Saints in what we will see at 4:25 Eastern time as the biggest underdog for a defending Super Bowl champion in almost 10 years. They came in at 1.9 points. I think it's about around 8, maybe 8.5, 7.5 right now as we get closer to kickoff. But there was a big number to start this. And it comes off the heels of an Eagles effort on Sunday night, Mike, against the Dallas Cowboys, where you can talk Super Bowl hangover, which I think is legit. You can talk Carson Wentz still trying to feel out coming back from the torn ACL, which I get. But they just look like an average football team, doing some things well, doing others not so well. And this was surprising for a run defense that we thought was stout, but was gashed for 170 yards by Dallas. Now you go on the road and play arguably the best team in the National Football League, looking average, and it's just a different Philadelphia Eagles team than we were accustomed to from watching them make their Super Bowl push a year ago.
Well, and that's it. Offensively, you haven't figured out the running back position, right? You've got a committee situation and nobody that you trust. Last year, even as a committee, you had guys that could hammer, and losing Jay Ajayi very early this season obviously doesn't help. Right as you get Carson Wentz back. So it's like trade one sure. for the other. Jeffrey's been banged up. He's been efficient since coming back from the shoulder injury, but you lost Mike Wallace, your speedster, to take the things over the top. Nelson Aguilar has disappeared in many a game. And even today, a difficult spot for Zach Ertz, just based on the metrics and the way the Saints have been playing defensively, that this is one where you're hoping for the touchdown and just volume will get you over the top. But for Zach Ertz, this becomes a difficult – you're going to play him because there's really no other tight end you trust across the board other than Kelsey. But this one's a little more difficult proposition for you. And you go all the way through and you look at even from a defensive standpoint, they're not making big plays.
No.
There's no takeaways. Dallas had long – arduous drives and really possession throughout a far more entertaining game than I think any of us expected.
Yeah,
coming in, I thought it would be a 17-14.
I thought it would be an
14.
Eagles walk. To be honest,
really,
I that's what I thought. I thought the Eagles were going to walk all over Dallas.
I thought it was going to be the last stand, kind of like that Jacksonville idea. Jacksonville sure. ends up losing the game. Dallas comes back and wins, and at least for a moment, the NFC East is thrown up in turmoil. But, you know, when we're looking at this Eagles squad, still trying to find their consistency. I think Wentz is a back end one play just based on the fact that you're not going to be able to stop the Saints, so which means you're going to still be winging it, but the potential is there for some disastrous results.
In Philadelphia, you can point to the things that haven't gone their way, which maybe certain bounces went their way last year, but it was anything but a glorious ride to the Super Bowl when you consider it was a team, again, that lost their starting quarterback mm-hmm. for the season, lost their all-world left tackle last year, and now you get those pieces back. And again, I know that there's still some growing pains with Wentz and coming off of the knee injury, but you mentioned the Jay Ajayi injury. There's no LeGarrette Blount. We expect Josh Adams to get more carries. But maybe what we saw last year with Philadelphia and how Doug Peterson used four different running backs essentially to get different jobs done. We saw how great Corey Clement was in the Super Bowl. That hasn't translated this year. Clement's been wondering why I'm not getting the ball more.
Right.
And which is amazing considering, again, he was in a four-headed monster last year on their way to the Super Bowl. And I know he appeared on the biggest stage, but you have to look at the big picture of how the Eagles got there. Now, if Josh Adams may be the only headed monster that they've got to rely on that running game right now, because it's just not there for Philadelphia. Something is off. Super Bowl hangover maybe, but it's not the Eagles of last year.
Yeah, as we get deeper into this season, from a pure football perspective, I mean, the East is such a quagmire, I guess would be the best way to put it. At this point, they're still in it. I mean, you look at their wins have been against the bottom feeders of the NFC and the NFL, but the opportunity is still there because Washington's so banged up. with another difficult matchup today, like trying to read that one.
Against the Texans,
Going up against Houston, because we don't know what Houston is either. They were gifted a couple of victories. I have to believe with four replacement offensive linemen that the Houston defensive line and linebackers are licking their chops over some potential opportunities to get a clean hit on Alex Smith. But when we look at the Redskins, they haven't done anything particularly well. They had a three-game stretch where Adrian Peterson rose from the ashes, and then he went right back underground as quickly as he came, and those injuries have piled up. You look at Dallas, we buried the coach. Dak Prescott's viability as a long-term starter has been torn asunder. So, I mean, you're looking at a division with just a lot of question marks, and for the Eagles, still an opportunity to go right the ship. I would imagine Adams, I've got him as a flex option because I don't know what the workload becomes. I think the things they're one of the huge components that they're missing is you don't have a jailbreak guy like Darren Sproles. Still not cleared.
Eagles and Saints kicking off at 4:25 Eastern time today. Let's quickly touch on Texans Redskins since you brought it up. That's a 1 o'clock Eastern time kick. The Redskins, I don't want to say it's a long shot, but Trent Williams had thumb surgery 2 weeks ago. They may actually try to play him today, which is they need as much help as they can get on the defensive line. And now you're facing a Houston Texans team that comes in allowing just three rushing touchdowns so far at all this season or total this season. You've got the Washington wide receiving core that we've talked about and how they've just been banged up and not healthy and, you know, no Paul Richardson, Jamison Crowder dinged up. Houston as a road team, a 2.5-point favorite today against the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, as well they should be. I mean, we look at Alex Smith. Who are you trying to work it to? Vernon Davis. And you're looking at more of your tight ends are going to be really ruling the day as you go through, right? I mean, that's really all you have. Jordan Reed, his targets per game among the top five in the NFL. They can't find the red zone, though. They can't take care of things in the red zone. So it's a lot of empty yards and wishing, wanting, hoping that you get a little bit more. I mean, Vernon Davis was a spot streamer play because of all the injuries and bye weeks last week and then gave you a big zero because of that, well, what was a miserable. That you want to talk about a game that should have been exported.
Redskins Bucks.
Wow, that was awful. 16-3, you 500 yards of offense and you come up with 3 points. But for Houston, I think you got a spot play perhaps as a number three receiver for Demaryius Thomas. Worked in a little bit more out of the bye. Lamar Miller on paper doesn't look good because Washington's rush defense for the year has put up solid numbers, but they've been beaten up the last couple of weeks. Why? Because that offense can't stay on the field. Mm-hmm. So an opportunity for Miller to get back. I think you see more of Alfred Blue, so certainly not a monster workload in the offing. But if this plays, as I see it, the Houston defense, J.J. Watt and company, force some havoc, shorter fields, and some opportunities. So Miller still gets his points.
Houston Texans, winners of their last six. We talked about the Saints earlier after that opening season loss to the Buccaneers. New Orleans has won 8 in a row. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. You can always listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app and SiriusXM Channel 83. There may be 83 points scored in L.A. on Monday night. Or more. We'll talk about that after David Gascon gives us the latest of what's happening and looking ahead to a week 11 of the National Football League season and a look back last night at college football. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I thought Washington State was going to put up 80 plus on Arizona.
How about that? Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Man. They're up 40. I mean, she's continuing to throw it. Yeah, I mean, just nonstop. Why not?
I'm inspired to grow a mustache. How about you, David?
I could probably do that in a couple hours.
He probably could.
Part wolf, man. That is true.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little scared because next week I'm one of those freaks that plays college fantasy football.
Awesome.
So I somehow lucked my way into the finals in back-to-back years, but my opponent has Gardner Minshew. So.
And Dave's in you're in a league that only uses the Pac-12 and Conference USA?
Yeah, so we use the MAC, the Big 12. We use independents. We use the Pac-12, and that's it. Yeah.
So the three of us will do a college football fantasy show next year.
We could.
We'll do Saturday mornings as well.
Yeah, like Toledo, Bowling Green, Obviously, you get everything from Kansas and Oklahoma. That's what I did. You know, because you guys get a lot of teams that will load up on one team, like, you know, the Saints or the Chiefs, yeah, or the Rams. Yep. Well, that's what I did this year. I did all Oklahoma. So Kyler Murray, obviously Trey Sermon, Brooks Kennedy.
Well, I know, and I know Dave's got to actually tell us what was going on, but here's the other thing about college football, like in the NFL. The NFL, you can't predict if a team's going to get up 30 or 40 points. If you're playing a daily college league, which there are still some out there, like, you could draft a backup and be like, well, they're going to be up by 40, so yeah, he's going to play the entire second half.
That's exactly what I did. I had all the bags for Oklahoma until, like, they all start, like, dying, and Rodney Anderson gets hurt, and Trey Sermon got hurt yesterday. So, whatever. It is what it is. But, guys, moving forward, obviously talking a lot about college football today. Alabama's still perfect on the season. They hammered the Citadel 50-17. Ball game was 10-10 at the half. Clemson 35-6 over Duke. Notre Dame hammered Syracuse. Mike, have fun on Monday night. 36-3 in that ball game. Michigan over Indiana. Georgia beat UMass. Oklahoma put 55 up on Kansas. They only gave up 40, though, in that ball game. Kyler Murray, 5 total touchdowns in the contest. A little bit of escape, though, Ohio State and Maryland.
This is for the win for 2. Higgy gets the snap. Rolling to his right. Looking to throw in the end zone. This fires the receiver in the end zone. And Ohio State wins it 52-51.
How pissed off were you watching that game, Dad?
It wasn't fun. All that mattered was the win.
Succeed and proceed, as Calipari taught us.
That's exactly it. Buckeyes now 10-1 this season. Number 9 West Virginia lost at Oklahoma State, 45-41. And guys, UCF, Central Florida, still perfect on the season. They beat Cincy 38-13. Back to you guys.
Thank you very much, David. This is Fox Football Fantasy. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Just quick side note with everything that we are talking about. Great move by Dave to just keep out the Big Ten in that league. Just keep them away. Just keep them away. It's not like they play defense there anymore anyway. Wisconsin and Purdue was an overtime.
You could have played all those Maryland backs, man.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. Anthony McFarlane yesterday, true story, was on pace for 700 yards at one point in that game. Had like 214-some-odd yards in the first 18 minutes of the contest. Oh, well, he did get dinged up. He'll have a great future in College Park with the Maryland Terrapins.
You went 1-0 yesterday, Dan. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. That's what the Chiefs and Rams are trying to do tomorrow night at the Coliseum. It is the Monday Night Football game that ESPN has been promoting for like 4 weeks. It's finally coming to pay off, but it's not happening in Mexico City. It will happen in Los Angeles. Chiefs and Rams Monday night. Rams were practicing in Colorado, trying to get used to the altitude that they would have had to have faced at Mexico City. Even when the game was changed, they ended up continuing their workouts there. Now, obviously, back home in L.A. in preparation for tomorrow night's game. I'm not sure how much venue change is going to have an effect on these teams, but I'm just looking forward to tomorrow night's game. Should be a dandy.
Over-under sitting at 63.5, much talked about over the course of the week, the largest over-under any of us have ever seen. You look at these offenses. And look, there's not much defense to speak of. As much as we want to celebrate some individuals on the Rams side of things, as a unit, they've been beaten downfield early and often. Marcus Peters has been an absolute disaster. If you don't get to the quarterback, if it's a near miss, there's a big play in the offing. So for Patrick Mahomes and company, as much as you want to bring the heat on him, he will pick you apart. I'm still wondering how Tyreek Hill did not get fined for jumping into the crowd and taking control of the camera. Everybody else gets fined for every other damn thing. Right? Quentin Nelson gets fined retroactively because a video goes viral. The league didn't pay any attention to it until, hey, that was pretty cool.
How is the camera, even though maybe because it's already there, is that how it's not a prop?
Exactly. Yeah. It's still a prop, right? If he would just start pretending like he was panning with a camera, I get it. But he literally went and he took control of, what is that, like a $20,000 camera thereabout, maybe a little higher? Yeah. I don't know. Seems odd to me. But either way, everybody plays, everybody wins. We're getting all our offensive pieces into this game. I like what the Rams did. They stayed away, and I think as much as getting used to altitude, at some point it became about team solidarity. And let's face it, here in Southern California, guys would have been distracted. Friends, family, people in that work in the offices, they were all in Colorado and away from the fires and the aftermath here in Southern California, so they could concentrate on themselves and football and you know, all that, I guess, is important to them as opposed to the material. Not that they don't want to be out in the community, but for distractions and whatever, perhaps that it was better to just be away from the center here. However they trained, right? I'd be curious to see where those practices were. Were they indoors at times, outside? You know, because originally it was altitude, but I think for team building, it became a much bigger thing.
Well, this is what I'm also curious about, just because of the ticket situation. And we've seen in L.A. how opposing fans can take over stadiums. Sure. And it's not only just the Chargers. The Rams, when Green Bay came to town.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, hearing a lot of Packer fans. How many Chiefs fans will be there? How much of an advantage is it really for the Rams to be playing at the Coliseum if you have kind of treated it like a road game anyway? You've got Kansas City coming in, and they're going to have their fans at the stadium. It's the advantages may seem pro-Ram. And by the way, this was a Rams home game anyway,
right?
So this evens out. But the point being is, I'm not sure on how much of an advantage it will be just for the Rams going back to L.A. As crazy as it sounds, I think you're going to hear tons of Chiefs fans. If the Rams aren't sleeping in their bed the entire week and making it a normal week, that makes it different. I don't think the move from Mexico City to L.A. is that much of an advantage for the Rams at this
point. I would agree, other than holding on to whatever percentage of gate doesn't go back out to charities and first responders and all the different ways that they're looking at this game. Chief fans, I know plenty of them here in Los Angeles, and it's a nice, easy flight, right? It's Thanksgiving week. Like a lot of places, like we growing up and for all of us of age, I guess, we only got the Thursday and Friday off. Now, like my kids are off all week here in California, and I know a lot of others – places treat it like a winter break ahead of, well, their longer winter break. So perhaps people willing to get on the bird and come out here to Los Angeles. I can't wait to be in here with Jason Smith, not just as David said, to mock him over Syracuse's no-show effort against the Irish, but also because we'll get to break this game down here in the Geico Studios as it goes on. Look, I'd love to play hooky and go experience that kind of atmosphere, because I think it could get crazy. Like, and the other thing is the optics are going to be bad for the first quarter because everybody's going to be stuck in traffic or the parking lot. Tune back in as the game develops, and you'll see a full stadium of raucous fans. This is one of, I think, as much as you get hyped for a Week 11 game, I mean, this is what the NFL had been hoping
for. Yeah, and the NFL's had a good stretch, to be honest, when you had Rams, Packers, Rams, Saints. You got Eagles, Saints tonight. You've got Chiefs, Rams tomorrow. Good stretch of regular season football coming off the heels of Seahawks, Packers, which was a good Thursday night
game.
Rams, by the way, you know, Cooper Kupp lost for the season, suffered that knee injury last week against the Seahawks. Don't expect Sammy Watkins for the Rams. Questionable for the game, but just really tough to count on him, especially with a Monday night affair. Josh Reynolds, I know, has been a popular pickup throughout the week for many to take the place of Kupp, but it's just kind of hard to prepare for Watkins' injury.
Yeah, I think with Watkins, I mean, we've seen him in and out of the lineup. Where those targets flow to, I'm not sure. Probably a little more of Kareem Hunt out of the backfield is what you're going to see if you want to go chasing the fourth receiver, fourth, fifth option on either of these teams. You're getting into dangerous play. So those are more daily fantasy league if you're in for a buck or $3 or whatever your stakes are. Reynolds being one of those guys as well that you might see a couple of targets and looking for a bit of yak along the way.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. By the way, Chiefs and Rams will have a bye in Week 12. As you mentioned earlier, the bye is starting to come to an end. So if you have Sammy, maybe better to just hold off on him, let him be healthy for the stretch run. It is Fox Football Fantasy, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Another mystery man clue coming up next. Plus, the Lamar Jackson era starts in Baltimore. How long will it last? That answer coming up on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy here on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Dan Beyer. He is Mike Harmon. Already getting Twitter questions. Matt Robbins wants to know. He's got a flex dilemma. Lamar Miller and the Texans going up against the Redskins, or Sterling Shepard, who was a hot play for you, and the Giants facing the Buccaneers today.
I do like me some Shepard, but the fact of the matter is I go with the guy with the touch count, and I will take Lamar Miller. I'm still liking him to see the ball 12 to 15 times. A little bit of Alfred Blue Foreman's coming. Not there yet, but we've got Alfred Blue still in the mix. But I think for Lamar Miller, that offensive line's been playing pretty well. They'll be able to take care of business. Shepard, a hot play, but that's more you're looking at a number three wide receiver option. And when we're talking about touches versus targets, almost all of the time we're going to go with the touches.
Bill O'Brien talking about Dante Foreman almost seemed a bit frustrated with the second-year running back out of Texas, and he's had health problems, obviously. But with all that being said, Alfred Blue has really carved out a nice niche with the Houston Texans, and him and Lamar Miller now being that 1-2 punch. A lot of the talk is around Deshaun Watson and what he can do, and DeAndre Hopkins, and then the stars that they've got on defense. But what they've got in the backfield with Houston against an average, if you will, offensive line, I'm not even sure if it's average, but they've kind of developed a nice little 1-2 punch in Houston.
Yeah, I think one of the things with Foreman, you know, we were talking about Washington on the other side, right? And Trent Williams, you've just had surgery on your thumb, but you're going to try to give it a go. I think the frustration for the Texans is, where is Foreman really in terms of injury and his willingness to push forward, right, as opposed to healing, giving it time, whatever, and the sense of urgency to get back on the field. That reading between the lines for O'Brien, I think that's where it is, especially when we keep seeing guys with these, for football purposes, heroic efforts to get back on the field.
Speaking of trying to get back on the field, A.J. Green is going to try to return for the Cincinnati Bengals. An interesting saga, at least with him, considered out, then doubtful. Now may actually try to do some work pregame against the Ravens today. At least we'll know 90 minutes beforehand if he can go or not. But that's not even the main story. The main story is Lamar Jackson, the rookie out of Louisville, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, is going to start today for Baltimore against Cincinnati as Joe Flacco is out with that hip injury, with Robert Griffin III being the backup quarterback.
Potential here, finally, for the ground game to get a little bit of traction, maybe. We've been waiting for it, Alex Collins, all year long. This is an opportunity. Cincinnati's defense has been gashed on the ground, and certainly through the air, maybe you get a little bit of play action. Obviously, one of the big parts of Lamar Jackson's game is his ability to run, so we'll probably see a couple of design plays, much like we have when Flacco's been under center. From Michael Crabtree, no better than a number three. You know I love John Brown. He's part of the Mike Harmon Man Crush Society, going on 4 or 5 years at this point. So the fact that he's stepped forward with the Ravens, think they take a couple of shots downfield to get him involved early. Hurst, the tight end, his workload since coming off injury has not been to the level I think that we all anticipated. Perhaps this is a breakout potential spot for him against the Cincinnati back seven. But for Lamar Jackson, I've got him firmly entrenched as, you know, QB 15, QB 16, based on the running exploits. And then around the goal line, you get creative to where it's probably him calling his own number.
You know what I find interesting about this game is a lot of times we see quarterbacking changes in the NFL. The starter can't go, the backup comes in, and the line changes, and it's usually for the worst.
Right.
For the Ravens-Bengals game, this game had opened a week ago at 3.5. It's up to 6 and 6.5 in some spots. And this is with Lamar Jackson getting his rookie start. May not say anything about the Ravens. I think it says a sure heck of a lot about the Cincinnati Bengals, and really the disaster, and that may be – it may be overstating it, Mike, but – they gave up 96 points in a combined two games against the Chiefs and Saints. Andy Dalton's quarterback rating over two of the last three games, under 64. In big spots, when you were leading the division, the Bengals have just come up, well, Bengal-esque.
Well, as soon as they show up in prime time, it all usually it goes off the rails, right? I mean, because they lose those games and then usually have a hangover thereafter. Bringing back Hugh Jackson, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, what is that supposed to solve in this entire process unless he's ready to take up for Marvin Lewis? And as I've argued all the way, Hugh Jackson eventually needs to look in the mirror as much as he wants to blame other things. You keep taking bad jobs. Wait for one that's actually possibly an organization just needs a different voice but is otherwise fundamentally sound. But for Lamar Jackson, very excited to see what he can bring to the table. You mentioned the point spread move. Well, we know what we have in Joe Flacco. You know what he is. For Lamar Jackson, you at least have a little bit of difference. Fox Football Fantasy is brought to you by Discover. Get your free credit scorecard today, even if you're not a Discover customer. It includes your FICO credit score, and checking your scorecard won't hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations do apply.
Bucks, Giants, 1 o'clock Eastern time. We mentioned Sterling Shepard earlier. Going to want to probably play guys on both teams. The Giants, by the way, 0-4 at home this season. They've got two wins at Houston, which looks like a pretty good win. And then they win against San Francisco that they had on Monday night. But Bucks Giants today, expecting points at MetLife Stadium.
Opportunity for Odell Beckham Jr. to go 1-0 once again. That's what he's doing. He's taking the Pat Fitzgerald mantra and pushing it forward. Evan Ingram also in our lineups today on the Tampa side. We're only looking at Mike Evans.
The Steelers moving on from Le'Veon Bell. Will they roll over the Jags? We talk about it next. Trust me, I'll get to your second mystery man clue coming up within the next 10 minutes. That is going to happen. It is Fox Football Fantasy coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We'll do it after the hot plays and the cold sores of week 11. We'll give you mystery man clue number two. Already getting some guesses on Twitter on who it might be. The first one averaged 19 yards a reception in his final year in college. So maybe he takes that big playability and carries it over to the NFL. We'll find out as Mike Harmon reveals a couple of more clues. It has been revealed that Lamar Jackson will be the starting quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens today against the Cincinnati Bengals as the rookie gets the start. The final first-round pick quarterback of 2018 that will get the start a game. It's also I don't know if it's a fresh start, Mike, with the Steelers, but they don't have to worry about the Le'Veon Bell saga anymore. They're in Jacksonville today to take on the Jaguars, but that is all now in the rearview mirror. They can focus ahead. James Conner, the top back in Pittsburgh for the rest of the season.
I'm trying to see if I can get any of that gear. I'd like a pair of those cleats, too. Like, they raided the locker, Bud Dupree. Everybody having a good time. I just thought it was a bad look by the Steelers not to have just cleared it out, so it was just done.
There was a report that they ended up that they were... A lot of that stuff's going to be shipped to Le'Veon.
So yeah, it just seemed like you could have done it and avoided looking like more of a clown show, right? It was the last act of a comedy that dramedy more than anything as you go. But Connor, the man going forward, so that wasted fantasy draft pick. But for folks down the stretch, hey, it means you can go to the waiver wire and decide who you want to place your bet on. Who's going to have an impact in those final playoff weeks. I have a couple of articles up on Swollen Dome over the course of the week to find you some diamonds in the rough for the stretch run. But for the Steelers, defensively, they've been fantastic the last few weeks, 21 or fewer points allowed. The pass rush was there early on in the season. The sack totals were there. But when they didn't get to the quarterback, big plays abound. They've been able to curb that quite a bit. Offensively, you've seen the greatness of Connor. You've got the two wideouts on the outside, and anybody that wants to say Antonio Brown's having a bad year or down year, I think they need to go back and watch some tape. The fact that, you know, you don't have to be myopic and feed him 15 times a game, it's probably a good thing for your team as you get rolling, and the offensive line doing a good job for Ben Roethlisberger. So another opportunity here in the Jaguars. How much fight do they have left? They were game last week against the Colts, but go down. And now, at some point, the infighting, you know, is it time to break up the band? Much like we're talking about in the NBA of what's going on with the Warriors and their sensitivities, I think would be the kind way to put it. Jacksonville is the same thing. Was it that short-lived a meteor?
Marcell Dareus not expected to play today for Jacksonville along that front. Pittsburgh has won five straight as they go to Jacksonville today. And there's one thing to, I guess, learn from this Le'Veon Bell situation. Mike, as we evolve in fantasy and you try to do different things, there are some people that just don't want to handcuff anymore.
Right.
And I can understand why you wouldn't want to. What's the point of handcuffing anybody in Green Bay to Aaron Jones? I mean, Jamal Williams is not going to get the job done. Ty Montgomery's no longer there.
It took him 10 weeks to commit to Aaron Jones, for crying out loud.
So handcuffing, a lot of people don't believe, but there are certain situations where you're going to want to handcuff. And if you are a Todd Gurley owner and the Rams end up suffering an injury, guess who's on your lineup or should be in your lineup? Malcolm Brown. He would be the top pickup if there was something to happen to Todd Gurley. In Kansas City, if Kareem Hunt got dinged up, Spencer Ware is going to be there. This is the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Rams, those are the teams that you can afford to do that and that you probably should do that. So if you had Le'Veon Bell on your team, I hope that you were smart enough to be like, okay, he wasn't going to play week one, so I better make sure I draft James Conner to at least have it covered. Because if he didn't, then that's on you.
Yeah, I was able to break up the handcuffs in the two main leagues that I'm in with friends and colleagues. I drafted James Conner late. Just if it worked out in my favor. Now, I don't know on a week-to-week basis. One of those leagues, I've got five running backs and I can only start two. So they're starters. I've been trying to dangle guys for trades and there's nothing. But I'd rather them rot on my bench than beat me on the other side. But certainly you're looking at teams' identities. What do they do with the running back position? How have coaches historically done it? And it's harder now because, well, guys don't get long shelf lives. You get 2 years, maybe 3 years as a head coach. And if it's not working, you're out. So you can't really get a read on the offense that they want to build in. But certainly for the Steelers, that's been their identity going back some 50 years. As much as they get pass happy at times with Ben Roethlisberger, they still want to run the football.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Let's get to the hot plays of Week 11 in the National Football League. Guys that you got to get in your lineup.
Locked and loaded. As we get things rolling, we look at Matthew Stafford going up against those Carolina Panthers. Multiple touchdowns all but 2 weeks on the year. Yes, the yardage has been wildly inconsistent, and there's no Marvin Jones. But Theo Riddick picking up nicely after the trade of Golden Tate and Matt Patricia's fighting windmills. We've gotten a lot of Don Quixote references in on the show. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. But Matt Patricia, an interesting the last 2 weeks, I think he's really kind of started to push the envelope here. Lamar Jackson, we've talked a lot about him. I like him against Cincinnati today. The roll of the dice, both with his legs and using the big arm downfield. Get John Brown open. See if Michael Crabtree got the stick-em that you and I sent him. Holiday season's early, Dan, as you roll through and certainly trying to get the ground game with Alex Collins going, so maybe a little bit of the play action comes in. Deion Lewis going up against Indianapolis, the Colts. The way you get them on the ground, well, you get them through the air. Third most targets allowed to running backs on the season. Lewis has been effective, 19 or more touches in three straight games. How about Dak Prescott going up against the Atlanta Falcons? Multiple touchdowns for him, four straight games, rushing touchdowns, three of the last four, taking care of business himself as they key on Ezekiel Elliott. In short, thing I like here, Dak Prescott, 243 passing yards or more in three straight games. That was the one knock earlier in the year. He's not pushing. So Amari Cooper, whatever you did, whatever they decided, you know, the desperation, is a good thing for fantasy owners and certainly for Dak Prescott owners. How about Eli Manning going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week, his first multi-touchdown game since the 7th of October. Lowest yardage total of the year with his 188. But some opportunity here. Tampa Bay, we've seen time and again, has been beaten down the field. Odell Beckham Jr. and is 1-0 every week. Two touchdowns last week. Could have had a third. Look for that streak to continue. Sterling Shepard, a number three wide receiver for you this week. His target count had been immense prior to last week. But then last week, he scored against the 49ers. Evan Engram also in your lineup for the Giants. How about Larry Fitzgerald? 22 targets the last two games. Scored two of his last three. We want the yardage total up, but you know what? Up against the Oakland Raiders, here's your opportunity for a breakthrough. So take him. Take Christian Kirk. Let's get him in our lineups.
Those are the guys that you got to get in your lineup that you got to play in Week 11. Those are your
hot plays.
Yes, I didn't leave room for it earlier.
That's okay.
I actually
no,
did
it was
the
me.
Work.
I jumped it.
That's all good. That's all good. Now, there's the other side of things. These are the guys that you don't want to play, you don't want to see, you don't want to have anything to do with. They are your
cold sores.
Yeah, of Week 11 in the NFL season.
Lock and load. We got a couple of quarterbacks that are in the cautionary tale side of things. You got Kirk Cousins against Chicago. He's accounted for multiple touchdowns, three of his last five. Bears with the what you call natural pressure. They don't blitz a ton with Fangio, which means a lot of decision time for Kirk Cousins. He's going to have to make sure that against coverages, he's not forcing the issue. And both the Bears and Vikings finally near to full strength. Going to be an interesting chess match, which is why Mitchell Trubisky is down in the top of the QB2s for me and not in his normal lofty spot. Omek plays with his legs because he's going to be avoiding the rush, but this is a spot. I think I'll just grab some popcorn and a frosty beverage and leave those two quarterbacks on the bench if I have other options. And with Adam Thielen, also a difficult spot because Fangio's defense, they've done a good job on him, 61 receiving yards or less in the four games he's played against these coach defenses. So a little more of a difficult play. Calvin Ridley against Dallas, fewer than 65 receiving yards, 7 of his 9 games. And the Cowboys, third best against wide receivers. So we'll shut him down. Devin Funchess against Detroit, scoreless in 3 straight, under 45 yards in each of those games. And Darius Slay will be there to stalk him from sideline to sideline. So we'll take him out. We've talked about Andy Dalton and his struggles quite a bit against Baltimore. No better than a mid QB2 play here, unless you're banking on Cincinnati to somehow come up with some turnovers against the rookie. I don't think they have him winging it. Should I say willy-nilly? Why don't I say willy-nilly?
Why not?
Here in week 11. So Joe Mixon also, second best against the run, against running backs, are the Ravens, giving up just 3.6 yards per carry. So a difficult proposition as he comes back off injury. Shut him down. Adrian Peterson for Washington going up against Houston, tied for first against the run, just 3.6 yards per carry, 92 per game. You've been able to be he was a beast for 3 weeks, and then the last 2 weeks, 28 carries, 85 yards.
Those are your cold sores for week 11 in the National Football League, and now it's time for a clue, mystery man clue number 2, the first clue of the show, 19 yards per catch in his final college season. What is the second clue for week 11 of our mystery man?
All right, 2015 draft choice. He is on his third team and never played for that middle team.
All right. Third team of his NFL career after being drafted in 2015. He had 19 yards per reception his final year in college. He is your mystery man for week 11. He is a guy you got to get in your lineup. We will reveal who that is coming up in about 20 minutes. This is Fox Football Fantasy. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. Reach us on Twitter just like Jive Turkey did. Yes, I love listening to y'all. Vance McDonald or Eric Ebron at tight end, half point PPR.
Ooh, I like this one.
Or is he called him Vance McSteamroll? That's what he called him.
That's even
maybe
better.
Vance McStiffarm. You could do a lot of different ways.
That's the good way to go. I think I'm going to take Vance McDonald going up against your Jacksonville Jaguars. Look at the role that he's carved out. And Jacksonville giving up the fifth most fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends on the year. McDonald's taking the reins from Jesse James. And let's face it, they're going to bring the house trying to disrupt Ben Roethlisberger. It means a lot of hot routes, Dan. A lot of hot routes, quick hits.
And if you're the Titans, you're now game planning for Ebron after what he did last week to those Jaguars. So something to take note. Find us on Twitter. I'm at Dan Byer on Fox Mike. They can get
find
you
me over at Swollen Dome.
As simple as that. Coming up next, he's a first-round pick that is finally living up to expectations. But do you play him today in fantasy? We'll tell you next here on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer, getting you set for Week 11 of the National Football League. Titans-Colts is a really good game today, and a game that could have some playoff implications for teams that are trying to not only jockey for position in the AFC South, but in a wild card throughout the AFC and the final wild card. I would say that the Chargers likely to grab that final wild card if they don't end up winning the division. They are 7-2 and just a game and a half back of the Chiefs, but the Chiefs have a bye next week, so really just a game back in the loss column. The point being, Mike, is if you're the Titans or the Colts, you don't want to fall today, because with the Colts situation sitting there at 4-5, you don't want to be 4-6, and you could be 3 games back at the end of the week. The Titans seem to be rebounding and playing good football with the win against the Patriots. They had the road win against the Cowboys the week prior on Monday Night Football, keeping that momentum. I think this matchup may go under the radar with some, but it is a key game this week in the NFL.
I'm pretty excited about it. I really wish I could have just jetted to a Colts media event to ask Frank Reich if he regretted his decision-making earlier in the season now that his team is flowing, right? Offensive line has been phenomenal. Andrew Luck has been virtually untouched going on 4 or 5 weeks at this point. All the dropbacks, he's been fantastic. We highlighted the Nelson play that obviously got him fined $27,000. But if you weren't going for skill position players, you could make an argument he's your rookie of the year for what he's done for Andrew Luck and getting him back to some semblance of Andrew Luck that we've seen before. Obviously not as many deep balls just yet, but they've been efficient even with the injuries, right? Jack Doyle missed a ton of time. Ebron's been banged up a little bit, but had the huge game last week. T.Y. Hilton missed a little bit of time. And you've been going and mixing and matching. Marlon Mack was injured for a bunch of the year. But now you're at a point where your offense is putting up points. Luck's numbers and his splits are ridiculous. And so the opportunity here against Tennessee, which has been a little Jekyll and Hyde at times, right, where we've seen some great moments for them and for Marcus Mariota and Corey Davis against Stephon Gilmore, it was a clinic. And then just as quickly as he arrives on the scene, perhaps he disappears. So Davis is a number two this week, but know that we've had peaks and valleys with him where just as we get excited by the target count, he disappears.
Well, that's it. That was the first round pick that I was alluding to earlier of Corey Davis last week, coming off of that 7-reception game against the Patriots, 125 yards and a touchdown. Getting a lot of Corey Davis love this week. I'm hearing people being like, all right, this is finally it. But as you said, this happened earlier in the season as well. Ended up having a big game 2 weeks later. He ends up with one catch.
That's just it. Everybody's going to chase just like you do. You know, Maurice Harris a few weeks ago with Washington, and you think things are going to work. Game script's going to determine this early. Deion Lewis, a little bit more Derrick Henry. We saw him plunge into the end zone a couple of times, so people getting excited on that bandwagon. But the touch count's been solid. If they can get a little bit of balance, then maybe for Mariota, you know, he can get his third straight multi-touchdown week. Remember, he hadn't done that but one time prior to week 9, so it's hard to get too excited about that passing game. But one of the more interesting matchups on the slate for this week, and as you said, I think going a bit under the radar.
Colts have won their last three in that game that you mentioned against the Texans in the overtime where Frank Reich didn't play for the tie. That was the start of the Texans' 6-game win streak. They haven't lost since winning that game.
You think Maryland looked at that tape and decided, hey, let's do what they do?
Maryland had no reason going for two.
No,
they were dominating Ohio State. They didn't need to go for two at that time. We don't go for two. We go for the big play. We go to the great state of Alabama. B.A. joins us here on Fox Football Fantasy with his fantasy dilemma and nicknames to boot. Hello, B.A. Good morning.
Salutations and pleasantries.
What's going on, buddy? How'd you enjoy your bye week?
I actually went out with my girlfriend shopping yesterday.
Nicely done. What a clown show that is. You should be penalized for that.
All right.
What's happening?
I need some tight ends.
All right.
Yeah, speaking of girlfriends. Anyway, I got you didn't make a mention to one of these, but I'll ask you. I got three to choose from. I don't have three on the roster, but I have two that are available and one that is on my roster.
Okay.
I got Vance Old McDonald. I got Birthmark Andrews and Mount Vernon Davis. Either one of those three. You can rank them for me if you want to. And real quick, please let me do this. Mickey Mouse is 90 years old today, but Betty White is older than he is. Warren Moon is 62, and my daughter, Mallory, tomorrow she'll be 18 years old. I love you, honey.
All right.
Thanks, guys. We love
there
you go.
Thanks, B.A. Well, happy birthday, there. Mallory. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, B.A. Well, happy birthday, Mallory. He listed them pretty much as I would. McDonald's going to be far and away your starter out of those tight ends. Davis, I'll take second over Andrews. But either way, Vance McDonald is far and away your top 10 play off the tight end list, which has been difficult, right? Because you haven't had the same production from some of the usual suspects where, you know, Jared Cook was supposed to be a big deal. Well, then Oakland quit. So he's had 1 or 2 weeks on the course of the year. Doyle's been hurt, as we talked about, after his big 2017 season. Kyle Rudolph, one touchdown on the year and, what, 150-yard game? Awful difficult to play him.
Yeah, tight ends are it's a tough find. I mean, those who have Gronk are sitting there looking, and by the way, Gronk should be back week 12. Patriots don't play in week 11. But, yeah, it's been a tough position this year in fantasy football.
You want to go a little bit deeper coming off the bye week? Maybe Jeff Heuerman of Denver. He's become a go-to for Case Keenum. So an opportunity there a little deeper. Austin Hooper going up against Dallas, unrostered in many leagues. Problem is, Matt Ryan, for all his efficiency, nearly 72% completion percentage, scattershot as to who the beneficiary is going to be.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. This is Fox Football Fantasy here on Fox Sports Radio. It is week 11, but it's time to take a look back at what happened in week 10 in the National Football League season as Mike Harmon was on his game once again in Harmon's greatest hits.
Baker Mayfield going up against the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta defense, seven straight top 15 performances against them. I'll get him back in.
Mayfield under center. Play action fake. Baker back. Baker getting rushed. Baker rolls right, fires Higgins up. Caught it in the end zone. Touchdown!
Aaron Jones, we've been talking about him for a while, finally got the ball last week. Season high 16 touches against the New England Patriots, the Green Bay offensive line. This one courtesy of Roto-World. I just love the stat so much I have to bring it out. Averaging 3.3 yards per rush before contact. Miami giving up 5.1 yards per carry. So let's get on that one.
Hand off to the running back. Jones up the middle of the five. Bills end zone spinning touchdown. Like the pinball wizard, he went spinning into the end zone. Aaron Jones and a Lambeau leap to the south end zone stands.
Andrew Luck going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. A little bit of a contrarian play because you say the Jaguars are so good. Not so fast. Last four games, giving up 21 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. You're looking at Luck with three or more touchdown passes in five straight games.
Luck wide open to the end zone. Lobs it for Eric Ebron. Touchdown! Touchdown! A 12-yard pass. Wide open was Eric Ebron. That's his third touchdown of the half.
And I feel like I need to say it. David Johnson, actually worth playing in your fantasy line. He's been on the bench for a lot of teams. On mine, he doesn't make it because I've got Tevin Coleman and James Conner. He doesn't see the field. Today, I get him in.
David Johnson in the backfield, and he gets the call up the middle. He is in easily. Touchdown, Cardinals. And David Johnson hits pay dirt. That's his second touchdown. He had a receiving score in the first half.
I got to stop interrupting Mike Harmon when he's giving great fantasy advice, just like he did last week. And I was trying to interrupt him when he was talking about David Johnson. And, yeah, David Johnson, not only a great play last week, but I would think a great play this week as well against those Oakland Raiders.
Against the Raiders, we get him in. Most definitely an opportunity here for big things. Top five play on the board against opposing running backs. Giving up 25 points per game are the Oakland Raiders. You're looking at 33 receptions, three touchdowns via the air. And that's where I think Josh Rosen's able to make some big plays once again for Johnson. You're almost halfway to that. Well, you're a little over halfway to that over-under mark because it was 900 for his rushing yards. At this point, through 10 weeks of the season, sitting at 492. We really need to pick up the pace here to get the over numbers in. Still six touchdowns on the year as a rusher. Disappointing season would be the kind way to say it, but we'll see what we can salvage down the stretch for fantasy.
Yeah, and I actually don't think that it's that bad for David Johnson. Obviously, this week against Oakland, you talk about how bad they are defensively. Offensively, they're also just as bad. They haven't scored a touchdown in the last nine quarters. They, three out of the last four games, they haven't scored touchdowns. So if Arizona gets the lead, you're going to see more of David Johnson, as you said.
Let's get those Cardinals defense up and rolling if we're going to go for spot plays.
It's been a hot pickup.
A lot of people looking for that this week, right? Although hopefully it doesn't go the same way the Jets pickup did a week ago.
Well, at least the Cardinals have Chandler Jones, and you can maybe get some pressure on Derek Carr that way.
And these guys will show up.
That can
right. They're going to show up in front of the home crowd, maybe.
That could help as well. The sledding for the Cardinals, by the way, is I just take a glance at their schedule. A little bit tougher down the road, but you could get some maybe yards against the Chargers. You can get some yards against the Packers. Then you got the Lions, Falcons, Rams, and Seahawks to wrap things up. Fantasy-wise, tough matchups for the team, but fantasy-wise, I think maybe you can get something done with David Johnson. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. You can always listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app and SiriusXM Channel 83 and find the show on iTunes. Just subscribe to Fox Sports Radio Weekends and download the show every single week. I'm on Twitter at Dan Byer on Fox. Mike, they can get you at.
Find me over at Swollen Dome. Reminder, Fox Football Fantasy is brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you.
The Los Angeles Chargers have been very patient, and today it pays off. We tell you why after David Gascon gives us the latest of what's going to be a busy week 11 and also what happened last night in college football. Hello, David.
Gosh, Dan, you were giving me some pain talking about that Oakland-Arizona game.
I know.
That's like hanging out and working with Gavin and Ryan for 3 hours.
Wow.
Geez. Joey Bosa is going to lay the pain.
Well, that's in the Chargers-Broncos game, but thanks for listening, Gavin.
I'm just saying, you're a Broncos fan.
And Gavin, thanks for ruining my tease. An executive producer would do that.
Ryan, close my mic, please.
Gavin Kinsel with the e-break on that segment, brought to you by Kinsel. Anyways, guys, college football yesterday, no disappointments from Alabama and Clemson. Notre Dame beat up on Syracuse 36-3. Michigan over Indiana. Georgia won, also big over UMass. Oklahoma beat Kansas 55-40. LSU with a W over Rice. Arizona got hammered by Washington State 69-28. Now the top 10, number 9, West Virginia was the only team to lose. They lost at Oklahoma State 45-41. In the National Football League, since we're looking forward to what's going on today, Baltimore Ravens are going to roll with a rookie today, calling the shots. Lamar Jackson will get his first start here in 2018. Because Joe Flacco's got a bad hip. Now, on the other side for the Bengals, A.J. Green is listed as doubtful, but according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, he will test his toe today during warmups. Adam Schefter reporting the trend right now is for Joey Bosa to make his season debut with the L.A. Chargers. They do battle with the Broncos today at home in Los Angeles. They're 7-point favorites in that ballgame. Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson is expected to play today against the New Orleans Saints. And a couple of quick notes in the NBA. Lakers lose in Orlando. It seems like the Magic are beating everyone right now. 76ers got a buzzer beater by Jimmy Butler. They beat the Hornets 122-119. And also, Golden State Warriors, they fall just the fifth time this season. They get beat in Dallas.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that line was in that game, but 112-109 was the final score in last night's festivities. Gentlemen, back to you.
I mean, we talk about dysfunction in the NFL.
It
has not been a good week for the Golden State Warriors. I know we're in mid-November, but wow. I mean, lost to the Clippers. We know what happened at the end of that. And then after that, then you lose to the Rockets. You lose to the Mavs. You're on a road trip. You don't have Steph Curry. There have been better weeks for the Golden State Warriors.
Goodbye, Draymond Green. It's been a good run. Listen to the podcast, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. I think I went on about a 9-minute rant against what's going on there. They got to bring Phil Jackson down from the desert to talk to people at this point to calm these egos, because it's gotten out of control. But how about did you guys see any of the highlights of LeBron James not even pretending to play defense yesterday? There was a montage of like 4 possessions. Like, you can at least pretend, you know, at least try to get down the lane. You're just watching guys fly past you.
I don't know if you guys saw this with the Lakers, is that the local ABC affiliate in Los Angeles put up a Lakers graphic for a score that they had against the Trailblazers, and instead of the Lakers graphic, it was just a picture of LeBron. Like, LeBron was the whole team. You had the Blazers logo above it, and then instead of the Lakers logo, you just had a picture of LeBron.
That's great.
I think that's very fitting.
Get in there and sell.
We are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Thank you very much, David. He'll join us in the feud in just a little bit.
Woo!
The Chargers get Joey Bosa back.
Chargers!
Making his debut today, season debut, returning from a foot injury as they are home in an AFC West showdown against the Denver Broncos, 4:05 Eastern Time kick.
Excited to see what kind of snap count they have him on and what kind of push he's able to get. Looking to get a little more pressure. It's a defense that's been gashed at times throughout the season as effectively, and the wins have piled up, but certainly some things still to clean up along the way for Joey Bosa. I had them. We've got a little sheet here. We all do our preseason picks. I had the Chargers winning the Super Bowl over the Saints. Of course, I also didn't presume that Joey Bosa would be out till week 11 and still be on a pitch count when he came back. But offensively, the explosiveness of this Chargers squad, now you look at Keenan Allen lining up in the slot, oftentimes is where he's doing his damage. But those big play receivers, Williams, great connection downfield, and Melvin Gordon, the best running back nobody's talking about. Now, all these other guys get their accolades and 5-minute montages and Todd Gurley getting love for the Halle Berry thing with Jared Goff. You know, Melvin Gordon just keeps going to work.
That's fine with the Chargers.
Exactly.
By the way, I had Joey Bosa as the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Yes. Oh. How did that? Yeah. Hey.
Still time.
Yeah, there's still time left for that prediction to not come true. So at least I have got that.
He hasn't had a bad game this
season.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good point by Gavin. Broncos Chargers again, 4:05 Eastern time. The primetime game, Vikings Bears. I know you're not big on Adam Thielen and what maybe the Vikings can do in the air, but the good news for Minnesota, they come in as an underdog, but you're going to have Thielen, Diggs, and Dalvin Cook all healthy and starting tonight's game, which has to be a positive for Minnesota.
Coming out of a bye week, I think for Dalvin Cook, you're going to see a lot of quick outs, quick hits to the running back position. Bears getting good pressure, good push. They do it without doing a lot of blitzing, as we talked about a little bit earlier in the show. But for Dalvin Cook, the opportunity is here. The touch count for him won't be on a pitch count. Latavius Murray owners, your time was there. Now you're looking at a TD-dependent type situation for him, and the Bears don't really give up a lot of ground in those red zone carries. So we push him down a little bit. If for that purpose, he's no better than a flex player, maybe the touchdown-dependent daily fantasy league. But we look at Dalvin Cook. We'll put him as a high-end number two for this week. Diggs, a number two wide receiver, and Thielen, like I said, he's been number one or two, I think, on the rankings list pretty much all season once this train started moving. This is one where he gets pushed down a little bit. He's not stopped altogether, but certainly you've been banking on your 100 yards, set it and forget it, like the Ronco infomercials of old. They're men of a certain age, women of a certain age for that one. Although I think he's still on TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, spots. I'm sure.
I just, you know, I'm passed out. So the fact is you got an opportunity. For the Bears side of things, they activate Adam Shaheen. We'll see how much that takes away from Trey Burton's targets downfield. You got Allen Robinson, who's going to have a tough time against those Minnesota corners, so he's no better than a number three. Taylor Gabriel off the map, too erratic in terms of his target count as it goes. Anthony Miller, a little bit of a price shot as a third wide receiver. Howard, a back end number two. Cohen, a back end number two. I'm not bullish on many of the offensive options. We see the over-under push down to 43.5.
Miller coming off of that five-catch, 122-yard game and a touchdown a week ago. He also has had six-plus targets that over his last four games. So at least getting some attention from Mitchell Trubisky. Panthers-Lions, 1 o'clock Eastern time. You touched on it earlier. Darius Slay returns for Detroit, but the good news, bad news situation for the Lions, no Marvin Jones today going up against that Carolina defense.
Difficult proposition there. You lose one of your big targets. You already traded away Golden Tate, so more on the shoulders of Galladay, and you're looking at more of Theo Riddick out of the backfield as a receiver. Kerryon Johnson, you'll try to get the balance. I picked this one as my upset of the week, that the Lions catching 4.5 to 5 at home. Carolina's been inconsistent beyond Christian McCaffrey. Right, defensively, they've had a couple of big games. They've also been beaten downfield. So I'll be curious to see how often the Lions try to attack the cornerbacks downfield and make some big plays and try to shake things up a little bit. For Cam Newton, steady as they go. I mean, obviously, the rushing efforts and his goal line efforts as a runner keep you in the top 7-8 at your QB position. But tough to trust Funchess. We had him on the cold sore list. DJ Moore, same thing. You're just not seeing the same production week to week. Greg Olsen gets the nod, top five tight end. Again, slim pickings at the tight end position. That's been the most difficult to try to assess over the course of the year. But another game that bears watching, because we're still trying to figure out, here we are in week 11, as to what the Carolina Panthers are.
And right now, they're the top wild card in the NFC.
Which right.
That may tell you on what is happening in the rest of that conference of what we've got. But, yeah, you don't know what identity this is. You want to say that they hang their head on defense, but they don't.
Right. And, you know, as we're going through, and we just talked about the Bears and the Vikings, right? The Vikings' defense was terrible for 8-9 weeks. Well, now they got healthy. So we'll see what they are. The Bears have beaten a bunch of also-rans. And they're, look, 6-3 is where you're at in the schedule, right? That loss to Green Bay that should have been secured as a victory by Kyle Fuller, and he dropped a would-be touchdown. He's been fantastic since, or an interception, I should say, that should have finished that game. And then you look at the Patriots game that ended up becoming this high-scoring affair that, again, you had opportunities to win it but couldn't pull it off. So, you know, we're still trying to figure out who the Bears are at this point as well.
Let's reveal our mystery man for Week 11. We had a couple of clues. The clues were this player averaged 19 yards per catch in his final season in college. He was a 2015 draft choice and is now on his third team. We had a couple of guesses. We had Rashad Perriman. We had D.D. Westbrook, who is the mystery man of Week 11 in the NFL.
Well, we do stay with those Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to James O'Shaughnessy.
Ooh,
how about that
right.
for a little bit of a there price shot for your tight end position? 5 catches, 46 yards last week. 2015 draft choice of the Kansas City Chiefs in the 5th round. 8 catches, 86 yards. Traded to New England, but never made it to a regular season with them. Was released, picked up on waivers by the Jaguars. 19 yards per catch his final season at Illinois State.
There you go. James O'Shaughnessy is your mystery man for Week 11 in the National Football League.
Mystery man.
The Cleveland Browns are thinking outside the box.
How about that?
How far outside the box? Wow. Wait till you hear this one. That's next here on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy here on Fox Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. Fox Football Fantasy, yes, rolling on Week 11. Having laughs all around here.
A lot of chuckles, Dan Byer.
Live for the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's no laughing matter as we take a look at the playoff picture in the National Football League. If the playoffs were to start today, Kansas City and Pittsburgh would be the top two seeds in the AFC. You'd have a wild card game featuring the Patriots and Bengals. Yes, the Bengals are still in it.
How about
and
that?
And then a 4-5 matchup, Houston taking on the Chargers. In the NFC, the Rams, just because they've played more games, would have the edge on the Saints for the top seed, with the Bears and Vikings, who play tonight, being one wild card matchup. And then you'd have the Redskins taking on Carolina in another. That's if the playoffs started today. Couple of quick tweets coming. Kyle Clarkson tweeted, he's got A.J. Green, who's dinged up, going to try maybe to do something in pregame warm-ups. I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't want to play A.J. Green with his toe injury. But he's got Sammy Watkins or Anthony Miller. Watkins has his own issues, so it's Miller,
right? It's Miller. It's Miller time. Yeah, Sunday, Miller time. Looking at a handful of targets. We'll see how they attack, because you know the secondary of the Vikings finally healthy. I think this is going to be a fascinating matchup because we finally get to see both these teams at full strength.
And let's combine two, because Doc Diggler tweets in, as does the Lonesome Kicker. They've got Marcus Mariota on their team. Rank these three quarterbacks, and we'll be able to answer two questions.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson, Marcus Mariota, or Mitchell and Mitchell Trubisky.
I'm going to take Watson over
Mariota.
Over Trubisky, over Mariota.
Okay.
Over Mariota. I think you're still looking at enough of the rushing exploits and potentially a jailbreak opportunity or two for big play, big yak, say from a Miller or from a Tariq Cohen out of the backfield, particularly with that pass rush that you know Minnesota is going to do everything they can to disrupt Trubisky.
So Watson would be one, two would be
Trubisky, three okay. would be Mariota.
There you go. Trubisky goes for Doc Diggler, Watson goes for the Lonesome Kicker. Let's get the family together as we will play the feud. Yes, here we are heading into Thanksgiving week with the Fox family. Top 9 answers on the board. Mike Harmon, Gavin Kinzel, Ryan Smith, and David Gascon, longest droughts from playing on Thanksgiving Day. That's what we need. The longest droughts, teams that haven't appeared on Thanksgiving Day, the longest. We've got 3 games coming up this Thursday. Let's start with Mike Harmon. The longest droughts, those teams to have not appeared on Thanksgiving Day in a long time.
How about the Los Angeles Chargers?
Oh, the Chargers. Let's think about that. Show me Chargers. They appeared last year.
Was it last year?
Yes, it was. They ended
the drought. That's how much I remember.
Gavin Kinzel knew that answer. One strike on the board. Let's go over to Gavin, see
all-time
how he rebounds.
Phillip Rivers performance. How about the Arizona Cardinals?
Oh, the Arizona Cardinals. Doesn't seem like they'd be in a primetime matchup. Show me Cardinals. There it is. Let's crank up that ding a little. There we are, yeah. Ryan Smith. There it is. Cardinals, 2008 was the last time that they were there. Let's go to Ryan Smith, our technical producer. Ryan, pick a team that has had the longest drought appearing on Thanksgiving Day.
I'm going to pass.
Oh, he's going to use the pass right out of the gates. The Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans would be the team. Over to David Gascon.
I'm going to go with the lowly Cleveland Browns.
The lowly Cleveland Browns. Who wants to watch the Browns on Thanksgiving? No one. That's why they haven't appeared. 1989 was actually the last time the Browns have appeared on Thanksgiving Day. Over to Mike Harmon.
Yeah, with their constant rotisserie of coaches, potentially Condoleezza Rice, according to a report from Adam Schefter, going to be interviewed for the job.
That was the big news of the Browns. Condoleezza Rice, possibly the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
There you go. How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's got to be a while. The Bucs haven't been good for a while. Show me Buccaneers. There they are. 2006, the Buccaneers made their last appearance on Thanksgiving Day. Good job so far, guys. Four answers off the board. We've got five left. Top nine longest droughts from playing on Thanksgiving Day. Gavin Kinsel.
Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans. Ooh, the Houston Texans. Not a long existence, but have they appeared on Thanksgiving? No, they didn't. Oh, geez. Ryan, you in?
The Jaguars.
The Jaguars. Show me Jags.
The only team to never appear
on Thanksgiving. There they are, the number one answer. Over to David Gascon.
I will go with the Dirty Bird, Atlanta Falcons, gentlemen.
The Atlanta Falcons. Show me the ATL. There they are. 2007. What's up? Over to Mike Harmon to keep the game alive.
Jets since the butt fumble. Huh? Is that enough years?
J-E-T-S. Jets.
No,
the Jets didn't make it. The L.A. Rams haven't appeared since 1975 on Thanksgiving. The Buffalo Bills since 1994.
Wow.
And the Kansas City Chiefs since 2006. Yes, you got that. But you got a bunch of division showdowns on Thursday and a great week 11. Enjoy it.